70% of salespeople cannot handle their most common objection. In fact, most salespeople are not real good at having basic sales conversations, and it's costing companies billions of dollars. Now, today we're going to unpack some of the pain points that every sales leader is facing and explore tools like Practice and how this has become a great solution. Today, I am joined by Ed Kerr, who, to give you a little about his background, he was a professional actor for 20 years. You might recognize him from many TV shows. He's been on over 100 in leading or starring roles on network television. And he has morphed into, because of his having to understand and know about role-playing and memorizing scripts, transformed into an entrepreneur who's built one of the most impressive AI tools for sales training and coaching. And we're going to explore some of the key insights on why sales training is failing and how the AI game is changing everything and what every VP of sales needs to know about building a confident, consistent sales team. And why this is so important is because sales runs the entire economy. Nothing happens until a sale happens. So Ed, welcome to the podcast. I'm glad you're here. You work with sales leaders every single day. What are some of the big frustrations that you're hearing from some of these sales leaders?
Well, nice to be here, Jim. Thank you. I think the most common situation that we encounter is a sales team that might be really well trained in terms of the processes that they've gone through that have been set up by the company, but where the rubber meets the road, when they have to stand and deliver, there's not a large enough percentage of them that are really confident and capable at conducting, leading a sales conversation.
And so what happens? Is there turnover because of that?
Well, there's absolutely turnover because people soon deliver very quickly after someone goes through training. They either are capable and confident in front of a customer, or they're winging it and they're struggling and they develop pretty quickly sales reluctance, and it leads to really not enjoying that role and not being very successful in that role and ultimately to quitting. So what we like to do is make sure that before someone hits the field or while they're in the field initially, they're getting as much support and reinforcement of all that training so that they're confident in front of customers. And I think we like to think of what we do at Practice as conversation training, and it's really a critical element, obviously, of sales, because you know the weapon of a salesperson is the conversation. And if they're not capable of understanding what information they need to gather from that customer or prospect, rather, and if they're not capable of understanding how to deliver a differentiated value proposition and speak to the cost-benefit analysis of their product or service relative to doing nothing or going with a competitor, all the various conversations that are critical to the success of a sale are often conversations that are kind of acquired over time, a fluency in that. And it can take a year and a half in some cases for a new sales rep to really get up to speed conversationally. And our goal at Practice is to shorten that dramatically.
Now, do you think most VPs of sales, do you think this is a blind spot for them as far as conversation training? Or do you think a lot of organizations are missing that?
I don't know if it's a blind spot or perhaps it's an ignored spot, because I think conversation training itself historically has been very difficult to conduct continuously and at scale. So role-playing, for example, has always been the most effective way to prepare people for sales conversations.
Oh, yeah.
But the problem is it's always been broken. No one likes it. It leaves people psychologically traumatized. It's usually conducted in front of a group or right in front of your boss. It's often awkward and cringeworthy, certainly not standardized. You need to take people out of the field to do it. And it's just not something that's done frequently enough. So when we first started Practice, we actually set out to automate role play for training purposes. Put it on the phone, make it accessible on demand anywhere, anytime, in a private environment where learners could actually kind of go through the process, getting reps, saying the things that they need to say.
Can you talk a little bit about the psychological safety of that? Because I know that it's sometimes really difficult. I know I did a lot of role playing with some people and they just got uncomfortable with it. And it was awkward, you know?
Yeah, well, it's awkward because it's contrived. Yeah. And usually the people who are conducting it, if you're conducting it with a boss, it often goes off the rails really quickly and it just feels weird. So we wanted to create an environment where it felt really pretty natural and it was fairly straightforward, but then we have different ways to make it incredibly dynamic. But most importantly, we make it a private environment where someone can really kind of almost stand in front of their own mirror. Mm-hmm. Like, how many times have you practiced conversations in your car or in front of the mirror that are probably really important, intentional conversations that you're about to have with someone around any topic? A sales conversation is an intentional conversation. You're seeking, hopefully, alignment or some kind of an outcome. And there's an art, a craft to conducting that conversation in a, you know, sort of carefully guided way that that doesn't reek too much of an agenda. And it can take a while for someone to get really sort of comfortable in their own skin and conducting those conversations. And so our goal was to create a system that allowed them to get there on their own, wherever they are, and free of the psychological trauma of doing it in front of a group or their boss.
I really like that. Now, a lot of times, you know, handling objections is part of the conversation. And what I'm stunned at, amazed at to this day, I mean, we've been training salespeople for a bajillion years, and you know, common objections are always going to come up. Somebody's going to say, I don't have time. Can you send me some information? And those are pretty basic objections. But with anybody's product or service, there's a commonality of objections. And it's dumbfounding to me how people really, really are poorly trained on how to handle those objections.
Yeah, we encounter that all the time. I'll ask sales leaders very often, if I were to ask your team your most common objection, what percentage of your team would respond the way you would want them to? Mm-hmm. Usually there's a pause. I think for a second they say, probably 20 or 30%. And I kind of have always found that to be shocking. Then you're telling me that 70 to 80% of your team doesn't know how to answer your most common objection, which they're probably getting multiple times a day, every day, day in, day out, week in, week out, then how are they actually serving in their role? How is that at all acceptable? And it's something that you're addressing how, and there's usually not much of a response to that.
Well, and they're paying for training. If you ask them and started the conversation, do you have good sales training? Oh, yes, it's the best in the world. We've got great sales training. We use XYZ, and this is the greatest thing. And then you follow up with that question of, I don't know how many can handle a basic objection.
Well, and they might have great training. Mm-hmm. And one of the biggest frustrations that we encounter with the L&D groups is that they do a lot of great work. And that work, though, doesn't stick. It doesn't stick because it's not reinforced. So yeah. We use the analogy of sports teams all the time. Imagine a sports team that didn't practice throughout the season. They might have a great game plan, but if they don't practice it, they're not going to be able to execute it on game day. Nick Saban was very famous for saying that we practice 100 hours a week for a 1 hour game.
Yeah.
And I think, unfortunately, just because of the logistics of running a sales team, you can't spend all your time practicing because then you're not in front of your customers. And so what was really needed and what has long been needed in the world of sales is a practice mechanism, a batting cage. And that's what we've developed at Practice, is a batting cage for sales teams. And then it incorporates the distilled best practices of the organization centered around, you know, conversation skills. So we try to capture the best way to approach and conduct certain critical conversations. We call them actionable conversational strategies.
Yeah.
That can be easily accessed, practiced, and rehearsed opposite a practice partner that's an AI practice partner. And then we also train an AI agent to be a coach, to then give you feedback immediately on how well you did, give you a score. You can interact with that AI coach and ask it questions, but all of this is done automatically, remotely, and all of it is tracked for management to be able to, have total transparency into who's practicing and who's not, how well they've done, and who should be certified to sell and who shouldn't.
Yeah, I think one a better analogy for this is, you know, what I keep thinking of when you're saying this is not a batting cage, but a flight simulator. You know, before you have a pilot go up in your, you know, multi-million dollar plane, I've got to have him in that flight simulator, and I got to throw him a gust of wind here. I got to turn the rate on. I got to shut down an engine, you know, and salespeople go through this stuff all the time. You know, they're going to have a situation, but if they don't have that over and over and over again, I don't want to put them in front of a customer that just cost me, you know, a fortune in marketing, to bring that up. And he hasn't had any time in my flight simulator. So I think that is a batting cage is a great analogy, but I'm partial to the flight simulator.
I like that too. Anything, any skill, any craft that requires practice, repetition makes for a good analogy.
Well, let's talk about, you know, how is AI coaching different from traditional sales training or live manager feedback?
Great question. And I think what we've noticed in the last year and a half that we've been working very closely with these AI models and training them to become effective coaches is that we keep getting better at it. Interestingly enough, the AI seems to be, I would hesitate to say, I don't know if smarter is the right word, but better capable of delivering really insightful feedback. It doesn't forget anything. And it's oddly kind of almost even more empathetic. And because it's objective, there's very little pushback from the learner. The learners like it because there's nothing personal in it. There might be some sort of lingering animosity between them and their sales coach, or a fear of not being liked by their sales manager. It's very impartial. So you know that, hey, this is, you're getting just the blunt truth.
There's a psychological advantage to that.
There is, and it's not nearly as personally offensive or threatening when an AI is actually giving you some feedback. But I also think that it allows the learners to be a little bit more open to receiving that feedback and open to trying again. And so what we've seen is there's really strong adoption with the interactions with the AI, because for one, it's very unpredictable. From one conversation to the next, they can be very different, and you can lead the AI on different paths, and the AI could lead you on different paths. But the ultimate objective is to persuade the AI, and the AI's objective is to not be persuaded. And so it becomes kind of fun. It seems it's somewhat inherently
it's like
gamified.
A game. Yeah, that's great. Is there any way you can walk us through what this would look like? What would be the experience of a salesperson?
Yeah, sure. What I could do, I won't walk you through the application, the user interface, which is really great. And there's a lot of different functionality in our app. We serve this on iOS, Android, and tablet. And so we're meeting people wherever they are, whenever they need it, in the field. And part of the process they go through is first they'll typically engage with a number of different talk tracks, script-based training, where they're given really some concise ways to handle certain situations that they're probably facing every single day. And then we actually put them into what we call a scrimmage with the AI. And they're given some context, and their goal is, again, to persuade the AI. The one I'll show you is actually how we train our SDRs on how to set appointments through a cold call. So they're cold calling, in this case, an AI prospect, and hoping to get a meeting on the calendar. So I'll do it. I'll maybe intentionally not do that well on it, so we get some interesting feedback.
I'm putting you right on the spot.
And then we'll go into the coaching phase of it, and you'll get a sense of it. So this is just the scrimmage part, and all of this is, again, tracked on a dashboard, so management can actually see the results of this.
That's huge. If I've got 200 salespeople, and I know who's getting it and who's not.
Yeah, and we roll it up on weekly reports, or you can generate reports in real time to understand, you know, who's engaging with the system and who isn't, who's doing so successfully or not successfully.
I don't mean to put you on the spot. I know things can go off the rails with this, but is there any way you could show me a live demo on your phone? Do you have it?
Yeah, absolutely. So what I'm going to show you is not the whole experience, but I'm going to show you what we call the scrimmage part, and this is where you actually interact with the AI. And as a learner or as a training sales rep, your goal is to convince the AI to do what you want them to do. In this case, this is a cold call. So this is how we train our SDRs on how to conduct cold calls and hopefully successfully set meetings with prospects. The AI in this case is trained to not want to meet, and that needs to be persuaded. During the call, at some point, we'll end the role play, and then the AI will become a coach.
Okay.
And will give me insight into how well I did, a score, what I could have done differently, and we can talk about it. And then all of this activity is tracked by our system, so to provide full transparency to management. And the the recordings of the calls and the feedback are there for the learner to reference as well. So here I'll call our prospect. In this case, I think we've named her Jackie. I think she's medium grade. She's not super hard. We can train them to be various personas and to be various levels of acceptance or difficulty. So we have impossible AI models that are quite rude. But anyway,
now let me ask you this: before you start, do the AIs get better looking as the sales rep gets better?
Not yet, but that could be something coming in the future. But so in this case, I'll see if I can get Jackie to agree to an appointment. I may not do it really well because I want to see how well she instructs me on what I could have done differently. But let's see here.
Hey, this is Jackie, your AI scrimmaging partner. The goal is simple. Get me to agree to a meeting. I will accept the meeting, but only if you use the tactics, words, and phrases you've been trained to use. This conversation is a cold call and will end when either the objective is met or you choose to end the conversation by saying stop role play or provide feedback. When finished, stay on the line for your assessment. The role play is ready to begin. Start the conversation by saying ring, ring.
Ring, ring.
Hello, Jackie speaking. Who's this?
Hi, my name's Ed. I'm with a company called Practice, and I'm sorry this is a cold call. I know you weren't expecting a call right now, but could I just take just a brief minute to explain to you why people love Practice, particularly sales leaders like yourself? Does that sound fair?
Well, Ed, I appreciate you reaching out, but what's the catch? I mean, why should I care about what you're offering?
Yeah, I know. I probably didn't set that up the right way, Jackie. And again, thanks for just giving me just a few minutes here. First, I'm kind of curious, does your sales team practice at all?
We do some role plays and training, yeah. But honestly, my managers handle that. What's unique about what you offer?
Well, I'm wondering, does your team practice enough to where they can actually, where you can track the improvement of their practicing? To where you're changing behavior? Does that happen?
Not really sure we track that closely. I mean, we have the basics down, but I'm still curious, how does your solution actually help with tracking improvement?
Oh, we track everything, and I'll get into that because really the point of this call is I want to just kind of introduce myself and let you understand a little bit about Practice and then hopefully set a time for us to meet just for 20 minutes so I can show you how our system works. But basically we've enabled a way for people in the field to practice sales conversations anywhere, anytime, and to get better at it. And we've been able to prove that we can actually increase revenue dramatically within as little as 30 or 60 days. And I think where we really start is kind of understanding within a sales team how many of your people are skilled at handling basic sales conversations. So I'm wondering, if you asked your team your most common objection, how many of them would actually answer it the way you'd want them to?
Okay, I get that. But you've kind of thrown a lot at me. Can you give me a specific example? Like, how does this actually play out in real terms? What kind of results have you seen?
Well, I just mentioned that we actually have driven increases in revenue by as much as 20% in 60 days. Would that be helpful to you?
20% in 60 days. Pretty bold claim. Do you have any concrete examples or testimonials from clients that back that up?
We do. Yeah. We have numerous case studies we'd be happy to share with you. But I'm just kind of curious. So are you confident that your team could answer your most common objection, everyone on your team?
I mean, I'd like to think they could handle it, but I know it's not consistent across the board. So what's your solution to that? How exactly does it help improve that skill?
Well, our solution is really simple. It's giving them the right things to say and the right things to practice. So whether it's a discovery conversation, whether it's a prospecting call, a closing conversation, we want to make sure that your entire team is incredibly fluent and skilled and confident at conducting those conversations. And what we find is that typically in most organizations, only about 20 to 30% of any team is. And that's what we'd first find out. Doesn't seem like you're quite sure how well they are handling those conversations. We'll find out. We'll test them, and then we'll get them skilled up. And so one of the things we do best is really optimizing the conversational skill sets of any team, and it translates to increased sales. So how about we just schedule a call for Tuesday for like 20 minutes, and if you see it, I think you'll really understand it.
All right, fair enough. You've got me listening. So how quickly does this show results? Like, what's the time frame for us to actually see some improvement?
Like I say, kind of depends on the company, but I think we could see some improvement in 30 days. But why don't we do this? How about we end role play? And could you give me some feedback, please, Jackie?
Sure thing, Ed. Let's break down how you did there. Overall, you scored 6 out of 10. Let's dive into each part. You scored 2 out of 3 points in rapport and connection. Your introduction was friendly, which is good, but it felt a bit rushed. Next time, try asking a quick question about my team's current challenges first, just to show you're interested in my specific situation. For discovery and objection handling, you scored 3 out of 4. You did well by asking about my team's confidence in handling objections. But when I asked for specific examples, your response got a bit muddled. Next time, keep it concise and bring in a solid case study or two right away to back up your claims. In closing, you scored 1 out of 3 points. I liked your effort to schedule a follow-up, but it lacked a clear next step. Remember to be specific about the time and what I can expect from the meeting. Overall, solid effort. You're clearly on the right track, just a bit more fine-tuning, and you'll be great.
Yeah, but I kind of feel like I did provide some common examples, and I was trying to get from you a sense of how well your team did, and you didn't tell me. You didn't tell me, for example, what percentage of your people were successful at handling your top objection. Why didn't you tell me that?
Yeah, you're right. I didn't give you a percentage, but that's because I'm usually skeptical of claims without context. I mean, it's tough to share specific numbers when I'm not fully convinced yet. It's like, show me the proof first, you know? But I get your point. Next time, maybe just push a bit harder for that info. It could help clarify things.
Okay, so do you think you were going to actually accept the meeting opportunity or not?
Honestly, I'm still on the fence. You did get me curious, but I need a bit more solid evidence before committing. If you can send over those case studies, I might consider it. Otherwise,
okay.
Not sure.
Okay, all right. Thanks, Jackie.
So that was awesome. That was all AI.
All AI, but the harder version is actually a lot more engaging and pretty funny. But what we try to go for is to create an environment that is continuously sort of different each time, and so dynamic, but also consistent, you know, with the typical challenges they face on any call or conversation.
This is really good. Now, you've got this in some pretty big companies right now. Can you talk about the companies?
Yeah, I mean, I don't like to talk specifically about the companies, but kind of broad strokes, we work with the largest lawn care service in the country and have been with them for 4 years now. We train close to 5,000 people every year through they put close to 5,000 people through our system every single year.
And then there's some insurance companies that use this too?
Some of the biggest insurance companies use Practice and depend on it, as well as a number of other home services businesses. I think where we really can make a huge impact is with companies that hire a lot of people and have high turnover. So yeah. High headcount, high turnover. And that's where Practice can be implemented to really help certify somebody to be in front of a customer, yeah. Certify them conversationally. Because what we found is a lot of training programs kind of lack that last step, that oral exam, if you will, mm-hmm. where you have to put somebody on the spot and say, you know, can you stand and deliver? Are you capable of transferring all this knowledge we've foisted upon you in the past, you know, 2, 3 weeks or months and convert it into effective conversation? And that's where we really come in and help, because we find that most training is not retained, and it's certainly not retained to the extent that someone's able to conversationalize it.
I think of the other analogy I like is, because I'm a musician, learning how to play a musical instrument. If I send somebody off to a weekend seminar to learn how to play the guitar, they're not going to have it down when they come back.
Yeah.
It's more of a 15-minute a day, 30-minute a day for a long period of time, and you've got to build on that. And I think this is really what's needed in sales. Now, I want to set the stage for a different conversation. I think that modern sales leadership today is just in a crisis. Sales leaders are under enormous pressure. Revenue targets are growing, and sales cycles are getting longer, and teams are turning over faster than ever. So you've worked with hundreds of sales managers, or I don't know how many you work for, but the biggest pain points that they're feeling right now are what?
I think certainly there's a lot of pressure to hit that number each month. And that's either done, increases in revenue are done basically two ways. Either you add more leads into the funnel, you dedicate more resources to marketing, or you convert more successfully. And as a sales manager, you need to change behavior. And it's very difficult to do, particularly if you have 50 salespeople under you, maybe 100.
Okay.
And I think we're seeing that in most organizations, the ratio of sales management to salespeople has only increased. So they're really overburdened and don't have the time or the resources to change behavior one person at a time.
Yes, absolutely.
And so they end up really kind of investing most of their time in their top performers, which mm-hmm. stands to reason. And they've got a large percentage of their team that is consuming overhead, burning through leads, and not converting and not performing to the extent they could. So it's, and I think that addressing that has historically been extremely difficult. AI now gives us the opportunity to do it in a super lightweight, effective, efficient way where it's automated. The learners are getting what they need, the kind of tactical support that they need, and the instruction, the practice reps they need, the instruction that they need. And all of that is very transparent. So they're held accountable to a certain standard. So if I'm a sales manager, I'm not going to give my leads to somebody who hasn't demonstrated the work ethic to hone their craft and the ability to actually deliver on the day.
Yeah.
And there's a huge difference between simply answering a multiple choice test or watching a video or being put on the spot to conduct a sales conversation in an effective way.
Yeah, and the sales managers just do not have time to do that. And that's why I love the AI capturing all of this data and giving it to them and say, okay, these are my ones that need to be getting the leads because they're really, really going after it. I really like that.
Yeah, and we can, and you know, ultimately we can kind of do away with so much of the busy work, I think, of a lot of sales training just in general, because where the rubber meets the road is, can you conduct this conversation or not? That's it.
Yeah.
Do you know what types of questions to ask? Do you know how to build rapport? How do you connect with somebody? How do you deliver that value proposition and that cost benefit analysis effectively to that person who's making that buying decision? How do you differentiate yourself from the competition? You know, what's the cost of inaction for that person to either purchase or not purchase your product or service? All of those things are really conducted conversationally. And it's really sad that so many salespeople don't get the resources they need to actually do that effectively.
I really like that. Now, right now, Ed, AI is everywhere and sales leaders are bombarded with pitches about how AI is going to change their team's lives. But let's be honest, most tools are like vaporware or a ChatGPT wrap. How is practice different from all these other AI tools out there?
I think the biggest difference for us is that we really have deep domain knowledge around conversation training and having implemented it in various companies over the years and dealing with a lot of the common challenges of introducing software into a company. You know, I think that at one point, I had a fantasy that everything we did could be product-led, and maybe it can be at one day. But I think that most of the time when you introduce a technological solution into a company, it's only successful if it's done with a lot of support. And so what we do at Practice is we are a full white glove service. We go in and we not only give you the technological platform and train you on it, and it's designed to be learned and utilized and managed very, very easily, but we like to implement it in tandem with you, to partner with you. And so we're going to go in and take a lot of this pressure off the managers. We don't want to, you know, sort of put another load of work on their lap. So that's one area. A lot of the AI solutions that you see out there are things that have been put together by a prompt engineer, and it's an AI wrapper, and it's fairly simplistic, and it's not going to really give you the nuanced results that you're really looking for.
Yeah.
And so we offer a full platform, which includes the creation of various campaigns, the launch of those campaigns, the monitoring of it, the reporting on it. But most importantly, we also use a very highly developed orchestration layer in the way that we conduct our models and how we teach them how to conduct those conversations and then how to assess those conversations.
Yeah.
And that's something that takes a lot more time and skill than the typical companies.
You know, one of the objections I'm sure you hear a lot, and, you know, a lot of sales leaders are kind of burned out on AI tools, and they bought systems that sounded amazing, and how do they work, or do they really work? And then they're finding out that they've got to build all the content, train the AI, get the buy-in from their team, and figuring all this out, it just probably makes them sick. And the analogy that I like is it's like somebody saying, I'm going to make you the best dinner that you ever have, and they show up and they give you a live chicken and a shovel to get the potatoes out of the back and a bag of grapes to make the wine. You're like, gee, thanks. Mm-hmm. So how practice is different, and let me see if I can paraphrase this, but one of the things that you said that I can see why this is different is you've got a company with 5,000 reps that's been with you for 4 years. Not a lot of AI solutions can say that.
Right. And we've developed also our own process to really understand the sales process of any of our clients. And so we know where conversational optimization and expertise can be deployed to impact revenue.
Yeah, and there's a learning that you've already gone through that all of these other companies would have to try and figure out. And, you know, everyone has an AI solution for everything. But I think that's, you know, what separates the men from the boys, so to speak, in this.
Correct. And also, every single one of these companies typically has a lot of tech fatigue, mm-hmm. not just AI fatigue, but they have a tech stack.
My gosh, yeah.
Filled with solutions that are gathering dust because they just didn't make it over the change management hurdles, and they're just not heavily utilized because they require so much tedious learning or day-to-day data entry. So our goal is to come in and offer a solution that is incredibly intuitive, simple, and where we take all those burdens of data entry off their plate. So typically what we'll do is we'll identify an opportunity. We'll submit a questionnaire or have a phone conversation of about 30 minutes to complete, where we get enough information to where we can begin to develop that first model, and we get it in front of management and let them take a run at it. One of the things that's kind of fun is we'll go in and we'll give the impossible version of the AI, usually to the management layer. And it's fun to see that because you know, we'll have 50, 60 managers jump on and they're competing because they want to persuade the AI, and usually it's tough and it's a real wake up call to them, and they get pretty competitive around it. But it also exposes a lot of their own weaknesses in terms of how they handle that conversation, and also probably some weaknesses around how their sales process is conducted in terms of the training. So it's been really eye opening to deploy the difficult AI customer into various sales teams.
Yeah, it takes a little bit upfront work, I'm sure. Let me talk a little bit about that we haven't talked about. It's confidence in salespeople. Salespeople who aren't confident don't close deals, and they hesitate. They avoid objections. How does practice build confidence and mindset in that to get that person to be a high-performing salesperson?
Yeah, I think where we start in terms of our process at practice is we want to make sure that we're really clear on the why.
Okay.
So any of the conversations that we're addressing and trying to improve, we're making sure that we're developing winning arguments for the salesperson. And that salesperson is armed with a real understanding of the kind of information they need to get from a customer to make sure that it's a fit, and that they have real clarity and conviction on why that solution, assuming there's a fit, is right for the customer. So I think when you start with the why, that's one thing. And the next is making sure that regardless of the sales methodology that we're aligning with, or perhaps where it's just sort of an amalgamation of all these different sales methodologies, we're equipping them with the right tactics and the right approach to that conversation. And when somebody has that, when they have a clear understanding of why they're having the conversation, how to conduct the conversation, and then they have the simple practice of getting reps and doing that, by the time they get in front of that prospect, they have the confidence that they need. And so with our process, it's clarifying the why, giving them really concise winning talk tracks that they can practice through repetition and script-based training. And then we put them in front of the AI. And we start off with an easy version of the AI so they can kind of find their sea legs. And then eventually they graduate to the impossible version. But we also do in many instances is we'll start and introduce the impossible AI with a brand new learner in our system. It might be a veteran who's been with the company for a while.
Yeah.
And that's the wake-up call. And then we take them back through the training. So I think it's a great way to kind of make them feel bulletproof once they get in front of that customer.
Yeah, I think that a lot of new salespeople go through an incredible, when they can't handle an objection or they forgot what they were supposed to say or they don't know it, there's an instant cortisol spike that they get. And it's the flight, flight, or freeze area that they're going to go through. And I don't want, and I don't think any sales manager wants or any sales company wants that to happen on a live sale. We want that to happen in the flight simulator and not live. And I think this is a beautiful flight simulator for salespeople. And it's pretty amazing what you got here. Let me ask you this, for sales managers and VP of sales listening right now, what are key takeaways? If they could only do three things to improve their sales team's results, what would you recommend?
Okay, that's a great question. You know, I think first off, I think they need to keep it simple. And I think anytime you enter into a conversation, you should really be clear on what your goal is in that conversation, what you'd like to accomplish, what kind of information you'd like to gather, or what sort of alignment or ultimate agreed upon next steps. And so clarity around the objective of each conversation and clarity around the why. So I think that's very helpful, is just the simplicity. The next step is, I think salespeople need to be, certainly they need to be checked on their activity on a regular basis. And that's probably the most common thing that a lot of sales managers do, is to verify that they're active and they're out there and doing the kind of things that they need to be doing to get sales moving along. But the other thing they need to do is to check for behavior. And a lot of times salespeople are as good as any other person at hiding certain behaviors, covering certain behaviors. And I think that's where we love to be able to put people on the spot and see, you know, currently how they're behaving, how they're performing when put on the spot. And then if they're weak in certain areas, then they've got to be able to practice it. Just like your flight simulator analogy or you know, any sports team. If I've got a player who during the game can't hit a free throw, you know, I'm going to put them on the free throw stripe for, you know, an hour a day, every day through the week. And hopefully, you know, when it comes to game time, they'll be able to convert those free throws. So I think sales managers need to be really attuned to the sales process itself and how well it's understood and conducted. They need to be aware of the current state of their sales team's capabilities or behavior and make sure that they're getting the resources they need to change that behavior. Because most sales teams, or sales leaders rather, most sales leaders often focus on lagging indicators.
Yep.
And what was the quota? Did you hit your quota or not this quarter? And they're not focused on the leading indicators, which is, you know, what are the behavior changes that we can make today that are going to make that next quarter's numbers better?
That is so good. That is so good. Now, in some of the organizations that you've worked with, I want to see if I can get an example from you of things that you've found, like is turnover is a really easy one, or ramp up time. You know, if you have somebody who comes into an organization and they get 6 weeks and then it's a churn, especially like the service industries, lawn care or roofing or whatever, you know, outside pest control, those type of service agencies, it seems like they go through a huge churn. Do you have any data or examples of after some of these people have used practice that, you know, the people stayed longer or they had better, some data points that you guys can maybe share?
We have, when we're dealing with the onboarding of new hires, we like to focus on whether we can track and measure the average speed to proficiency. There's another metric called time to productivity.
Okay.
So time to productivity is a really critical success metric, particularly for companies that do hire a lot of people and suffer a lot of churn. And it's a pretty simple measurement. It's the amount of money that's spent in recruiting, hiring, training, and paying somebody over a period of time until the net profit from their sales is equal to the amount that's been invested in onboarding them.
Yeah.
So a lot of it's interesting. A lot of sales leaders we've found have no clue what their TTP is. They don't know. And it could be 3 weeks, a month, it could be a year. I don't know. It depends on the organization. It depends on the role. We find in a lot of the services industries, it's often 6 to 8 weeks that it takes that time for someone to begin to start to pay for themselves. Mm-hmm. And I think if a company has a really high churn or a long time to get to profitability or productivity, that's something we can address very efficiently and it's a massive impact on their
I see lots of, you know, this is sales, but I see other industries that this would work well in. You know, collection of debt would be another one that I would see that people would have to practice over and over, and other ones. But you're primarily focused on just sales, right?
We focus on sales mainly just because that's the lifeline of any company. It's where there's the greatest amount of urgency certainly amongst anyone who owns a P&L who needs to hit a certain number each quarter, each year.
Yeah.
And that's something that we can track pretty easily. Are we improving the conversion rates of a sales team or an individual or not? Is that person practicing? Can we draw a correlation between the time that they practice and the scores they get in practice and the impact that they're having out in the field? And we can. So I think that's where we see the greatest opportunity to make a difference. We can support customer service. We can support a leadership training, any kind of intentional conversation that is conducted that is of importance to an organization. We can model around. So, I think I could see practice being used really effectively in political campaigns.
Oh,
it could be used in even in personal relationships and conflict resolution.
Oh, having that tough conversation that you have to have.
Yeah. So we think of this category as being quite broad. It's just conversation training, and all of us each and every day have intentional conversations of real significance that can be conducted either successfully or unsuccessfully. And you might want to practice some of those.
I think a fun one would be to put together a, birds and the bees talk, that you could give to parents, and
yeah.
I could practice that. Ed, it's been an incredible conversation. I want to thank you so much for being here. But before we wrap up, what is the best way a VP of sales or chief revenue officer can learn more about practice and see it in action?
So you can come to our site, practice.ai, and reach out to us there. If you get a call or an email from us, just respond. That's another way. You can hit me up on LinkedIn anytime and we'll get back to you. But I think the most important thing is just to explore it, just to take action. We don't want to sell practice to anybody who doesn't need it or want it. Once we get a little bit of insight into a company, we'll understand whether we're a fit or not. And we have a way of implementing practice very painlessly, quickly. And if it's not a fit, we'll shake hands and walk away. But I would imagine that if we've deemed it a fit, a potential fit, it will be, and it'll be quite impactful, and we'll do all the work. So just don't worry about it. Just give us a few bits of information and let us take it from there and watch.
If I'm a sales manager, I want a turnkey solution.
It is. We are completely turnkey, and I think that's probably our greatest differentiator. We've got a phenomenal team, and we have phenomenal testimonials from our customers. And if there's one way to impact revenue quickly, it's either putting more leads in the funnel or converting those leads more effectively. And we can get conversions happening.
I like it. I like it. Well, Ed, thank you very much. And it's been a pleasure. We've had another great podcast with a brilliant man, Ed Kerr, who helps companies get more sales. And the ROI on this, I would imagine, is pretty darn good. So call Ed.
By the way, we did have one of our clients said that one of my favorite quotes is, when using practice, the ROI was through the roof. So I like that.
You heard that. The ROI is through the roof. So yeah. Until next time, we'll see you on our next podcast. Have a good one.